The gospel is from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. As I looked at this story for this week, two things stood out and struck me about it. The first one was this. This was the night, the last night Jesus was going to spend on earth with his disciples before he was crucified. So it was an important night. And the things that happened that night were some of the most important things that he wanted to leave with his disciples before he left. So one of the most important things is that he gave us the Lord's Supper that night, right? And the Apostle Paul and three of the four gospel writers take great care to preserve the exact words and exactly what happened with that giving that supper, telling how he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, blessed it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, take and eat." And he took the wine and gave thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink you all of it, this is the new covenant," all of that stuff. But then you get to the Gospel of John, it's the same night, and he doesn't mention the meal at all. He doesn't mention those words at all. Why not? Instead, he puts in this other interesting action that Jesus does, this washing of the feet. It's an action that is kind of mysterious, that's very powerful, it's very personal, it's very humbling even. And John throws this in as being important for that night. What's going on here? The best explanation I saw, what made sense to me, is the writer of John's gospel knew that the meal was well taken care of. The words have been recorded in four different places. It was part of who the church is. It was going to carry on. Now John wanted to deepen it, to complement it, to expand it, to help us more fully understand that what that meal was about was this wonderful self-giving love that gave itself away in service. This is the hard thing for us to get in our heads, isn't it? So let's look at this, what Jesus was trying to do, and John spells it out real clearly. He says, Jesus knew his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, he got up and washed their feet. The whole context is he'd come from God, he's going to God, and he wants to show love. He wants to ground his followers in love. Over the past year, couple of years, I've been talking about what is the difference between going to his Father to heaven and being in this world? How are they related? And it's often hard for us to think about that. The easiest way, but in a very, very incomplete way, is we think in terms of location and time, don't we? We think heaven, where he is with his Father, was somewhere else and different. He came into this world and stayed here for a while, but now he's departed from this world and he's gone back to his Father, and we're just waiting for him to come and take us to his Father. That may be the reality at some point for us, but the deeper reality is about here and now, and it's not about location at all. To be with the Father in heaven, to be in the world, are two states of awareness, two levels of consciousness in a way. For Jesus, to be with the Father is simply to be totally aware that there is a God who loves us deeply and can share in our lives in an intimate and personal way. That's what it is. When we know that, even in this life, we are getting a real taste of heaven, and we're not having to wait for it. It may be more complete in the future, but we don't have to wait for it. And likewise, to be in the world is not a location. It's to lack the awareness that there is a God, or at least full awareness, and put our faith and our trust in that. Interesting, Jesus said when he was in the presence of his Father, he realized that his Father had given all things over to him. He had realized a generous God who was not holding things back, who was not judging, but simply giving fully, absolutely, out of the abundance of his love. And that is why Jesus decided to come from his Father into our world, where we were not fully aware of that reality, to make that awareness part of our own. So when he says, I came from the Father into the world, it's not that he left his Father behind. He did not. He brought his Father's presence right here. And when he says, I'm going back to the Father, it's not that he's leaving us behind. He is also taking us there. The way heaven and earth are related are they're now joined in Jesus. And our awareness makes all the difference. The classic illustration of that is, suppose your mother died, and she, without letting you ever know in your life, had set aside a fortune for you in the bank that was going to be yours upon her death. But you didn't know that. So she dies, and you're grieving, and you're going about your life with all your everyday problems. The mortgage still needs to be paid. The car payments are still there. Your kid's college fund isn't at all what you would like it to be. But 2 days after your mother's death, her lawyer calls you and says, "Do you know what it says in the will? You were a millionaire all along, you just didn't know it, but now I'm telling you, you're inheriting all of this." That awareness just changes everything. It makes the reality of your life now available to you for the first time. You're still grieving that your mother is gone, but her love is there, and suddenly you can pay off all your debts. Your life is totally different because of that awareness. Jesus wants to make us aware of that love that always surrounds us and that we can access personally at all times. And how does he do it? He does an action. Do you know how? Why doesn't Jesus make things more clear? Why doesn't he just explain things? Why doesn't he just tell us things that make sense in our mind? Because the deeper things, the deeper reality, things such as love and hope and joy, aren't things that can be explained. They have to be experienced first, and then you can talk about them and make sense of them. So Jesus has to give his disciples an experience of what he is trying to do. And he does this most unusual thing. He takes off his fancy coat, he rolls up his sleeve, he takes a towel, he takes water, and he literally kneels in front of his disciples. And they feel this clear, clean water pour over their dusty feet. They feel his hands washing the dust off their feet. They feel that towel drying off their feet. They literally have a new perspective on Jesus. Instead of him walking beside them, instead of him sitting on a hilltop preaching to thousands of people and performing miracles, now he is literally on his knees. And they see him new in a different way. And once they experience it, then he can come and say, "Do you realize what I've done for you? Do you realize I've given you an example of how to live?" And it's not that easy. It doesn't get in through our thick skulls very easily, does it? Peter just is he's shocked by it. He says, "No, Jesus, I cannot have you doing this lowly, humbling, demeaning act for me. I can't have any part of that because it doesn't make sense in my mind." Peter is living in the world, right? According to the world's rules. Living as if he wasn't totally aware of what God was doing. And so what Jesus was doing in God's name made no sense to him. The world tells us that you work hard, you study a lot, you put your nose to the grindstone, and you're going to have success. And this works wonderfully well in a lot of ways, right? Good friend of mine, he loves playing the guitar, and one of his joys of his life, one of the things that makes him proudest is that now he's reached a level of proficiency in his guitar playing that he can go to really outstanding guitar players and say, "Would you take me on as a student?" And they say yes. He's able to go to the next level with them. We think that's the way it works, isn't it? In business, you go to the right school, you get good training, you get in with a good company, you get good mentors, and you will be able to climb the ladder. Even Jesus' disciples got caught up in this way of thinking. James and John, their mother comes to Jesus and comes to Jesus and say, "When you finally come into your power, when you really get successful, I want to make sure that my boys who've been working with you, who've been following you, are your right hand and your left hand man." And Jesus just shakes his head. Even Peter got caught up with that. Peter once said to Jesus, "Look, we've given up everything to follow you. We've hitched our wagon to your star. And when you come into your power and your glory, when you become a success story, all this better pay off." So on this night before Jesus, the disciples know that something profound is going to happen to Jesus. They hope that he's going to declare himself king and take over the world. And so this night before that's going to happen, they hope he's going to give them the secret to success. And instead, Jesus just turns his back on all that, all earthly power and glory, and kneels down and performs this action that people paid slaves to perform on their behalf. What is Jesus doing? He is trying to say, if you play only by the rules of this world, you're not going to get where you want to go. You've got to let them all go. I can't teach you how to succeed in terms strictly of the world. I have to give you this other knowledge that comes only from learning what is at God's heart. And at God's heart is that you show profound love and service. I love when Jesus said, you know, "Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will come to you." He says, if you just play by the world's rules, you're not going to get where you need to go. But if you start by learning about the love of God and you take that back into the world will make much more sense and it's all going to be given to you. I get frustrated with the disciples like Peter and I think, why can't you get this through your thick skull and your mind? But then I realize that's not where Jesus is heading at with this. Our minds aren't big enough to understand what Jesus is doing, to fully comprehend it. Only our hearts are big enough to experience that thing that's called the love of God. One of my favorite experiences from that mission trip I took to India a while back, I think kind of makes this clear. One of the most memorable things that happened is one day we were in a large tour group, but they subdivided us up and sent us to various ministries that were going on in rural India. And I and three other people from our group got to spend a day with an Indian doctor. And we started at her clinic and saw what she did there, and then she took us in her car out to the rural this rural town. Very simple, very poor, very basic, and she showed us what she was doing there as a medical missionary, and it was fascinating. Well, it was late afternoon, and we'd spent all afternoon there, and we were getting hungry, and so she took us to a house in the village there, and they were cooking outside over a wood-fired stove there. We thought, oh, that's supper. And we went into the house and sat down at a simple little table, and they set the table for the meal, and they brought, I think it was banana leaves, big green leaves, real leaves, and put them on there like a placemat in front of every person there. And I thought, oh, how neat, you know, these nice natural placemats. But then they brought in the food from outside in these big bowls, and after our host, the doctor, said grace with us, she started ladling out food onto these leaves. They were our plates. Now, when you go to India, the thing they drill into your head, into your mind, is that you never drink the water, you can't even brush your teeth with the water because you'll get sick, and you can't eat fresh fruits or vegetables because you don't know, they can't be clean. And here, we were going to be eating off fresh leaves, and we're panicking. Our mind is just going, oh, you can't do this. So we said to the doctor, did you wash these leaves first? And she goes, yeah, in the village well out here. And we got, there's malaria mosquitoes in there. Ah! But wanting to be polite, we thought, here goes. And we were hungry. So we start eating. The doctor picks up a bowl of sliced limes. And she picks one and she squeezes it all over her food. And then she hands us to us. And we're like, fresh fruit. Oh, we can't eat this. And we go, no, 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 no. And she looks at us funny and she says, what? This is how we eat this food. It's delicious. It's not good unless you put the lime juice on there. And we finally said, you know, we were told we can't eat fresh fruit because we'll get sick. And she put the limes on the table and she looked right at us and she said, I am a doctor. Do you think I would do anything that would make you sick? And all of a sudden, the thing changed. All of a sudden, what we thought we had all figured out and we were going to protect ourselves in the mind, we just had to let it all go. It wasn't doing anything. It was making us horrible guests. It was keeping us from enjoying this wonderful meal that had been so lovingly prepared for us. And so we simply trusted the generosity of the doctor and those people. And guess what? The meal was delicious. We didn't get sick. And we were able to enjoy fellowship, hospitality, the love of this meal so carefully prepared. That's what it's all about. Jesus says, let me give you an action. Let me help you experience the love of God wash over your head, wash over your heart, and then you'll be able to turn around and share that love in this world that so desperately needs it. Amen. Please stand as we sing our next hymn.